We've had a busy week around our house. Unfortunately, Judy's brother, David, passed away, and I think most of you have heard that. And then Scott went through major surgery at Cleveland Clinic and survived it. He was 6.5 hours in the operating room, but he's home, and I saw him standing with his daughter who was going to the prom, and he looked pretty good. So we praise the Lord for that. The Lord is good. Every time I think about this prom deal. And whenever we first came here, our girls made some friends who came to me and said, two friends, they came to me and said, Reverend Baker, can't Amy go to the high school dance with us? The preacher's kid never danced. Oh, we're her friends, and we don't think that it's fair that you don't let her go to the dance. And I said, I'll have to think about it. And as they went up the stairs from down in the basement where I was sitting, I heard them say, oh, the mama don't dance and the daddy don't rock and roll in this house. So I said, go. And off she went to the dance. And it didn't, I don't think it hurt her or hurt them. That was just a freebie. Let me just emphasize that we want to say Happy Mother's Day, and we have a gift for you. Renee's got things lined up back there. So you'll get a gift this morning, a plant. It's always a plant or a box of candy, but we've gone for the plant this year. That'll be good. Don't forget, Wednesday morning, Ray Baker and a few folks are here Wednesday morning. And I'm telling you, if you're just sitting at home watching the Today Show or some such thing, give it up. Come out to the 10 o'clock prayer meeting, 10:30, and then at 6:30, we'll see you. The remnant will come for that one. So keep those things in mind. Is there anything else I want to emphasize? That governing board meeting, the elders on Monday evening. So keep those things in mind. Now we're going to go back to the book of Philippians, if you want to turn there. And I'll get to reading the scripture in a minute. It's Philippians 4, verses 1 through 3. So if you turn there and hold your place, I'll remind you of a couple things. The Apostle Paul wrote back to this church about 10 years after he had visited them, and he stuck around in that neck of the woods for several months, and they built up this church. And he started this little church, meeting in homes, probably not even this many people. And I like to say more people come. Well, there were probably not this many people, and we got more people than them. And so keep that in mind. It's an encouragement. But the book of Philippians is a book of joy. That word joy and happiness. And there are seven things that we've learned so far. At least I've learned them, and I've spewed them out to you, all right? The first thing we learned is that God will finish what he started concerning us, you and me. If he started a work in you, he's going to finish it up. He's not going to leave us standing. And then the second thing we learned is that God will use our chains, C-H-A-I-N-S, for his divine purposes. Difficulties, oh boy. This is TW3. How many can remember when we referred to TW3. That was the week that was, all right? This is the week that was for our household. But God will use our chains, our difficulties, for his divine purposes. The third thing we learned, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Then unity comes through humility. Humility comes from following the example of Jesus. Our witness impacts the world. What we do, how we live, how we act, how we smile, how we don't smile, these are all things that impact the world that we come into. Nothing in life compares to knowing Christ and receiving his righteousness by faith. Run the race and finish well. And the eighth one that we're going to learn about today is that my name is written in the book of life. We want our name there in that book of life. So we're going to learn four things today. And you can write them down if you want, or you can just remember them. Adam gets them all in his head. He has all this space up there, and they just go in there, and that's where they're at. Today, four things we're going to learn. The first thing we're going to look at is, what is the book of life? Who is named in the book of life? When are names added to the book of life? And the big question is your name in the book of life? So we'll look at Philippians 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, my beloved, do we have it on the screen? We don't have it on the screen. Okay. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore, listen to these names. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syncti to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Now, Paul just loved this bunch of people, believers at Philippi. He felt right at home with them. This is where God put him, and it worked out pretty well. Nobody was doing too much to him after there was that escape from the prison. So he had a great opportunity to worship and to teach people about Christ. He says he had great affection. My joy and my crown, I love you people. That's what he wrote. And so the thing that we learn from this is that he cares for people. Now, if you remember back in chapter 1, verse 8, Paul said, "For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Christ, of Jesus Christ. I like you. You people, I like the way you accept me and accept the Lord." And he says to them in verse 27 of chapter 1, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs." You have to know how to read that. "Hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any ways terrified by your enemies." Don't be afraid of your enemies. And Paul is doing a couple things here. And he says that people won't like you because of your relationship with the Lord. People can mock you. How many ever watch Gunsmoke? or those old timey things. How many still watch Gunsmoke? There you go. I figured that the ones I figured would be watching it. But every time they have a preacher on Gunsmoke, they pose him as being a knucklehead. Or they pose him as being beaten up outside the bar, the saloon, or a horse runs him over. Or, you know, they get rid of the preacher pretty quick. They don't want to keep him in there. And we will find opposition to us. John chapter 15, 18 through 21. And Christ says this about how people won't like us. They won't like what we stand for. Christ said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." Okay, so I just wanted to back up the fact that we will have people that don't like us because of what we stand for. But evidently, there are two gals, believe it or not, in that church, Euodia and Syntyche, that were having a problem. They weren't seeing eye to eye. There was some kind of conflict there. And Paul says, "I want their true companion to step in and help these two ladies sort it out." And there's another one there that was trouble named Clement. So you got these three people. I don't know whether Clement was a man or a woman, but they had a disagreement there in that group of believers. And it happens, but it's not always wrong. And these women did not lose their salvation. Their names were not blotted out from the book of life. So now that brings us down to the book of life. When does our name get in the book of life? Can anybody shout it out? Any theologians here? What's that? We'll see about that. He said at salvation. Okay. That is really our typical answer. How many believe that? We get our names in the book of life at salvation. Raise your hand if you believe that. We've been taught it. I'll change your mind before this day's out. The book of life is mentioned one time in the book of Philippians. And then it's mentioned, and that's right here in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It's in there. But it's mentioned 20 times, or 7 times rather, in the book of Revelation. The book of life is mentioned 8 times in the New Testament. Once in Philippians, 7 times in the book of Revelation. Paul thought it was great, and John, as he was led by the Holy Spirit, thought this was something that was important, and God spoke to us through his writings. Now, if we look at Revelation chapter 12, chapter 20, verse 12. Now pay close attention here, Ed. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books, plural, okay, books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And there it is, it's plural. So we've got a library in heaven. Malia, isn't this wonderful? A library, the librarian, sitting right here. We've got a library in heaven because it says there are books in heaven. But there's one of those books that's more important than the other. That's the book of life. Keep that in mind as I change everybody's mind about that, getting your name in the book of life. It's not a book of death, but it's a book of life. And in order for you to get to heaven and to be there, your name has to be in the book of life. Amen? Amen. We know that. We're going to see how we get it there very soon. In Revelation, it tells us that this book is called the Lamb's Book of Life. Who is the Lamb? Jesus is the Lamb. And this is his book. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. The book belongs to Jesus. You cannot check it out. You cannot go to the librarian and check it out. That is there in heaven. It's 28 times in the book of Revelation. So Revelation 21, verses 22 through 27. Listen carefully, or turn there. And John writes, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. And no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it. This is heaven. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name's got to be there. And this morning, if your name is not there, we want you not to leave here without it written there on that page, white end, fair. So Jesus is the Lamb. And it's important to remember only those names of people that have received Christ as their Savior will get to heaven. No one else. If your name's not there, you're out in the cold. You won't be pounding at the gate to say, let me in, like people, we picture people going to the ark after God shut the door on the ark and the rain started coming up, coming down, and the waters came up. Hey, open the door so I can get in. No, you had an opportunity. You had an opportunity to receive Christ or to receive safety. How long did it take them to build that ark? 100 years. And in that 100 years, how many people stopped by and said, you're a knucklehead? How stupid can you be building this ark? We don't even know what rain is. So who will go to heaven, or how do you get there? Chapter 2 and 3, don't turn there because it's a lot to read. we find that in those chapters, Christ speaks to the seven churches. And there's one of those churches that is in trouble. Revelation 3, 4 through 6. Christ says to this church, "You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now we're getting closer to my thoughts, my theory. I will not blot out his name from the book of life. There are those people at Sardis that Christ says, we got some good people there. He condemns them for being a church that's dead, but he says we have a remnant of people there whose names are in the book of life, and I will not blot them out. This blotting is important in my premise today. If your name's not in that book of life, you're in trouble. Verse 5 says, I will not blot out. So we've been commonly taught that the moment we receive Christ as our Savior, our name goes in the book of life. Now, what I'm proposing isn't going to matter. We're not going to start a whole new clique, a whole new church with this thought. And that's been commonly taught. I heard it growing up. I believe that it's possible that our names from our birth are already in the book of life, that they're already there. In Jeremiah, God says, I knew you even before you were born. And then you have, and we know then we have life, and our names are in the book of life. This is a possibility. Remember, this is not gonna take your salvation away or mine. If lightning strikes, it strikes. Just pick me up and carry me out. But those names, I believe, have been written from eternity. It's there in that book. Now in Psalm 69, verses 17 and 18, David writes, "Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Deliver me because of my foes. Charge them with crime upon crime. Don't let them share in your salvation. And may they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous." I think those people's names were already in the book of life, as our names are already in the book of life. How can our names be blotted from the book of life? They can be blotted because we do not receive Christ as our Savior. Then they're blotted out. The eraser's working. And when we die, if we haven't met Christ as our Savior, we're out. We're not there. Now, you remember King David was in trouble many times. And you remember that King David saw that good, sweet-looking girl on the rooftop of her house bathing. I'm glad the kids aren't here today. Okay. and he saw her and he lusted after her and he made it happen that her husband was killed. That he was killed. He put him right out in the front in this army that was going to fight against the Philistines. And that guy Uriah was knocked off. And David had an illegitimate child with Bathsheba. And the prophet Nathan speaks to David and says this, and here's an important thing, because you might use this when you're counseling with somebody. Trisha, this is a good one. Listen to this. 2 Samuel 12, verse 5. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David. This is about that little baby. And he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and spent the nights lying in sackcloth on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused and he would not eat any food with them. I'm going to be like this. I want that baby to live. I want that boy to live. And the little guy was awful sick. And we hate to think that the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, but God allowed it to happen. On the seventh day, the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, he wouldn't listen to us when we spoke to him. How can we now tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead, he asked. Yep, he's dead. Then David got up from the ground. This is his response to the death of that child. Then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food, and he ate. And here's what his attendants said. Why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But now that the child is dead, you get up and you eat. It should be the opposite way. You should still be in mourning, not eating, fasting. And here's what David says. While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. That child's name was in the book of life. And if you have friends that lose a child, have lost a child, let them know that there's proof in the word that that baby went to be with the Lord. That's a comforting thing. And David said, he'll never come back, but I can go to him. I will see him there in heaven. God makes provision for children. God makes provision for people that are mentally deficient in their lives. He makes provision for people that are just completely not there. He does. And that's a comforting thing, that we can say that God does make provision. Special needs. Their minds never grew. And I always joke about when I go to the Dubois YMCA and I go to the spa and I go in the hot tub and I go in the steam room and I go in the dry sauna. I take a shower, come home and take a nap. That's what I do. It's okay, it's good. It works for me. But there are days when I go in the hot tub and here are a group of kids that come and get in the hot tub with me, some with Down syndrome, they're special needs kids. They get in there, they know my name. They remember my name, and they said to me, "How's Scott?" How could they even remember that? "How's Scott? I pray for your son, Scott." Those kids will go to heaven. They will go. We don't have to worry about them. They'll be there because their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that wonderful? And we can tell people this good news. It's great news that they will go and be with God, Christ in heaven and the Lord God. Okay, I'm getting off track here. So what do we do to get your name in the Book of Life? Well, it's pretty easy. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But I'll tell you, your name will be blotted out of the Book of Life if you don't do it. If you don't do that, that book must have your name in it if you want to get to heaven. And who wouldn't want to go to heaven? I go in and work with these people that have 6 months or less to live. And I don't go in and say, "You got 6 months to live." But many of them know it, that they've told them that. Good grief. You folks, anybody here, you might have 6 months to live. Might have 6 minutes to live. It could be. Nothing can stop you from having your name in the Book of Life. There's not one thing. We can pray and we can say to the Lord, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm a sinner. I accept your Son as my Savior, and I want him to be the Lord of my life." And you know, if you pray that, kerbang, your name stays in the Book of Life. Think how big those books are. We're judged for our works. That's where the rest of the books are. We're judged for what we've done. And God keeps great books. My wife is a bookkeeper. I don't know. I think she just avoids me. She sits at the kitchen table taking care of all those books all the time. I'd say, "Judy, how would I ever do that?" But she can keep those books. Christ can. They keep great books in heaven. From all the centuries, all the years that man has been on the earth. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but it can be blotted out if you don't receive Christ as your Savior. You'll be gone. So we say today, as you join me in prayer, let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, and if you don't know Christ as your Savior, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your love. I want my name to be in that Book of Life. Forgive me, for I have sinned. I believe that you died for me. And I ask today that you become my Lord and my Savior. And I pray this with all my heart, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Ruth, Malia, we're ready.